I want you to take a moment and go ahead and find these scriptures, because I'm going to read all three scriptures at the very beginning. The first one is John 10, 27 through 28. But if you can go ahead and at least find the Hebrews chapter 2, find the place, and 1 Samuel 22. I'll know that you're there when I hear all the pages not rattling anymore. John chapter 10, these scriptures will seem totally unrelated, all three, until we begin to tie them together. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I don't want to belabor things this morning, but the Lord wants you to hear Him speaking.
Amen.
So hear these words. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Go back up to verses 1 through 5. Jesus compares himself to a shepherd who has a sheepfold, which was a stone wall with a gate in it, which he called a door. It was a door. They called it a gate or a door. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Did you hear that? And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And you'll hear that worded in different translations, different ways. It is not that sheep cannot hear other voices physically, but it's that they will not follow them, the other voices, because they have come to know their true shepherd's voice so clearly that nothing else is right. Nothing else is right in their spirit when they hear it. Hear this again. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. Right in midstream of a passage of scripture here that is talking about how Jesus, in his earthly coming in flesh, he was manifest lower than the angels, now seated on the right hand of God. He's higher than all things have been put under his feet. But I want you to notice in verse 8, speaking to God the Father, he says, you have put all things, and it's talking about Christ here, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now you know that, and you would agree with me, wouldn't you, that Jesus has been exalted, he has been seated at the right hand of God, and the word says all things have been placed under his feet. Amen? But listen at the rest of the verse. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, notice this, the age in which we are living. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. All things are his, all things are technically under his feet. But there's a usurper, Satan, who is called the God, little g, of this world, who is still allowed to roam, and who very much in some ways governs the affairs of the world system that stands in opposition to God. We'll come back to that. Yes, it's all God's. God is sovereign over all, but we don't yet see all of the nations, and we don't yet see all things come under the lordship of Christ. 1 Samuel 22, again seemingly unrelated. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 4. We come into the middle of a story in the life of David. David has been running from King Saul. King Saul has wanted to kill him and has tried to kill him. David has already been anointed king of Israel. Saul has been rejected as king. But David does not yet have the kingdom placed under his feet, and he's running from the king who is seated on the throne. David, therefore, departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, covers most of us, doesn't it? Gathered to him, so he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now we're going to just leave for a moment. Just remember those three passages. They'll come back to you as we progress. Jesus told a parable. We're not going to read it. He told a parable of 10 virgins who were waiting for the appearance of the bridegroom in the Middle East. That's not known, and it's a surprise. No one knows the day or the hour when the bridegroom will appear. We're not going to dwell on this story, but I just want you to remember that they were waiting. They were in a season of waiting. And while they were in a season of waiting, what were they supposed to be doing? They were supposed to be listening for the sound of his voice. For him to, there would be trumpets blowing and there would be shouts as he came down the street. They were supposed to be listening for the sound of his voice, and they were supposed to be watching. This is why Jesus tells us when he talks about the end times, he says, "Watch, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape the tribulation that is going to come, the things that are going to come upon this earth." So they're listening. The bridesmaids, they're listening and they're watching so that they may see. And again, I'm just going on one trail after another, but it will all weave together. John said in the first scripture that we read, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice." Beloved, there's a great need for you in this hour and for me to hear the voice of God. To know the voice of God, apart from your salvation, if this were my last message, and I were to stand here, and I knew that everybody in the room was saved, if you weren't, then I would tell you the gospel. But if I knew that every person in the world, in this room was saved, then I believe there's no greater message after that than to know his voice, because everything's going to flow out of that, to hear the voice of God. You might think of some other doctrine or something that we need to know, but beloved, without knowing the voice of Christ, you can't get any other doctrine. You won't hear any other teaching. You won't even be able to understand when you read this word, what it's saying to you. Without the Spirit of God teaching you the voice of God, amen, to know the voice of Christ, amen, there's no greater need for our lives right now in this hour. We're not going to turn to this scripture, but in John chapter 1, the Bible says, and you've heard me preach on it many times, and in the beginning was the Word. The Word, that's what you hear. In the beginning was the Word, the expression of God. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And then it says in verse 14 of chapter 1, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." It was declared by John. Remember in that chapter it says, John declared this was the Son of God. He came as a forerunner to say, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld. You see, you don't see until you hear. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To hear him is to see him, and then to see him is again to hear him. I'm not trying to sound mystical here, just bear with me. The word of God that you hear with spiritual ears, the word of God that you hear brings sight, brings vision. I believe all of you know who Helen Keller was. Helen Keller was asked at one time in her life, well, what could be worse than being born blind? And she said, being born with sight in both eyes, but no vision. There's a big difference between seeing the exterior things around you and seeing as I'm talking about this morning. And until you hear the word of God, you don't behold his glory. Until you hear the voice of Christ, he's not revealed more to you. Some of you say, I would love to see a vision. And beloved, God does grant visions to people even today. But I want to tell you, to everyone who hears his voice, the inner eyes are open. There is sight. Amen. There is vision. Amen. Until you hear, you won't see. And I've got to move more quickly than this or you're in a mess. But until you hear, you won't see. Until you love his voice and you're attracted to his voice and you desire to hear what he has to say, then you won't see what he wants to show you, what he wants to reveal to you. But when you have heard him, his voice is altogether different than any other voice you have ever heard. Now understand, in case you're new to the word this morning, I am not talking about literal hearing. I'm not talking about an audible voice of God, though that is possible. I'm talking about learning to know, first in this word, spirit to spirit, what Jesus is saying to you and what he whispers in those times when you're open to him, what he says in a still small voice, what he speaks to you. Before last, we talked about seasons. Last week, we talked about living a whole life for God, starting now. Until you're able to hear his voice, you won't see what he wants to show you for your life and for others, for whatever the ministry, the calling, however he wants to use you where you are. But once you've heard his voice, it is different. It's not literal sound, but it is real content. It is real content. It's what he says and how he says it that makes it different. That's why the more that you have saturated your inner man with his voice and beheld him, then you won't be misled by another voice. He said in John, where we read, that those who hear my voice, those who are my sheep, know my voice, they hear my voice, and they won't follow. They won't follow the voice of another. They won't be led into deception by some other. You say to me this morning, I don't know his voice. I don't know his voice. Well, it says here, and I want to shake you up if necessary. It says in what we just read, it says, my sheep know my voice. How can you follow him in this world that we live in if you do not know his voice? You say, I don't know his voice. Well, what will you do? What will you do when the final day comes? The Bible calls it the last day. What will you do when you stand before the Lord of all heaven and earth and you begin to hear his voice literally and clearly right then as Jesus himself begins to divide and separate sheep from goats? And he says, well, my sheep are the ones who heard my voice. My sheep are the ones who knew me and heard my voice and weren't led astray by another voice. Not even the voice of their own flesh, their own desires, their own will. Much less the voice that is sent by the enemy to try to trick you and to try to deceive you in this life. What's more, some of you are going to ponder on this for a while, but I started not to say it. But if you don't know his voice, what makes you think he'll know yours? You say, wait a minute, he's God. What do you mean? Well, we're talking about not just an exterior voice. We're talking about the voice of relationship, aren't we? And Jesus has already told us that there are going to be people on that day who say, I cast out demons in your name. I performed miracles in your name. I healed the sick in your name. And Jesus looks at them and says, depart from me. I never knew you. What will you do if you don't know his voice? What's more, if you don't know his voice and he doesn't know you, where will you stand? Depart from me, I never knew you. You see, those that were gathered who said, we cast out miracles, we did all of these things, they thought that they were accepted because of all the things that they did. They thought they would be accepted because they did good works for God and did good works in his name. But in reality, it was because there was no voice that they were rejected. There was no hearing of his voice. Therefore, there was no knowing him. There was no seeing him in the inner man. There are more voices competing to deceive you today than at any other time in history. You say, how can that be? Because knowledge is multiplied. Information is multiplied. It's in your hand almost 24 hours a day. Access to more knowledge than has ever been available in the entire world in history. And there are more voices to deceive you than there ever were before. Satan masquerades, the Bible says, as an angel of light. And what does he present? He presents ideas. Ideas that look enticing. Ideas that sound good. Ideas that even sound like they might be from God. Ideas that are dressed up to make you think it's something good from heaven, when in reality it's something straight out of hell. The deceptive voice of the false angel of light. And multitudes don't know his voice. They don't know its content. When you hear, you read, and you see ideas, philosophies, you're faced with this every day. And only the Christian who knows the voice of Christ begins to discern these things. And when you begin to discern them and you say something about it, then people around you think you've gone a little bit off the deep end. But you're seeing trends and you're seeing and you're hearing the voice of the enemy coming through things that sound so good, so enticing and so loving. You hear philosophies, you hear ideas, you hear political views, cultural expressions like music, lyrics to music, things that you see in the movies that tug at your heart and look so loving and look so all accepting and so tolerant and so many different things. And yet, when you dig down and see what is it really saying, it's contrary to the voice of Jesus. Your spiritual ears should be sensitive to discern the false voice from the shepherd's voice. I think a question, though, do you care about his voice? Do you care about his voice? And I can say that because I believe that many, many people call themselves Christians, but they do not care to hear the voice of God. They call themselves Christians, but they don't want to be pinned down by the voice of God. They don't want the thoughts of their heart exposed even to themselves. By the voice of God. They don't want to hear the voice of God because it may call them to something they don't want to do. I listened to Jackie Pullinger, part of her testimony. She was the lady that went years ago to the walled city in Hong Kong and spent most of her life there serving drug addicts and prostitutes and bringing them out of that into freedom in Christ, one of the most wretched places on earth. And she was so confused when she felt God calling her. Nobody wanted her as a missionary, and she didn't know where to go. And she thought going to Hong Kong would be exciting. And she said, surely that can't be God. God doesn't want you to go places except places that you hate. You know what I mean? Surely God will have to send me somewhere that's horrible and that I would despise. And she got on a ship and she went to Hong Kong because she heard a voice. And she could see something in her spirit. Do you care about his voice? The true believer will be Listen to this. The true believer will be attracted to the voice of God. Attracted to the voice of God. Not repelled by the voice of God. Attracted to His voice. Attracted to what it reveals of Christ. The revelation of His glory. We beheld His glory even as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we have a young man named David. Samuel, the prophet, has come to this young man and has anointed him, poured oil on his head and said, "You are king. You are king of Israel. I'm anointing you." And Saul is still on the throne, but God has rejected Saul. Why did God reject Saul? Because he did not care for the voice of God. Because he rejected what God said and cared more about self. And God rejected him as king and rejected him so much that the Bible says he didn't know. He could not hear the voice of God anymore. I can't. That is hell, my friend. To be so separated from God that you cannot hear His voice anymore. Now, don't anybody go off and twist what I just said. There is a literal hell. But in that place, you don't have a loving word from the Lord. There's no opportunity to repent. And because His presence and His voice aren't there, you don't have the gift of repentance and you won't want to repent. You'll just be more and more wicked and rebellious. David hears the word of God through the prophet Samuel who anoints him. David already knew God and already knew God's ways. And so he could recognize the voice of God through Samuel. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you speak? Do you ever speak in such a way that others can recognize the voice of God through your words? So that God's voice can be heard right where you are. So David knew he was king in God's eyes. But that he had to wait because Saul, rejected by God, was still reigning on the throne. Through circumstances, David killing a giant, being invited to the palace. David comes to the palace and he is asked to play his harp for Saul. Because Saul, without the presence and the voice of God, is so tormented by demons that he becomes a madman. And when David puts his fingers on the harp, the anointing of God flows forth and even calms the demonic attacks that are upon Saul. Saul loves David at first, but then he recognizes that this is to be the next king. And he sees greatness and he sees the presence of God upon his life, which he has lost. And he becomes jealous and he becomes more and more angry and he determines to kill David. And so Saul takes a javelin and he throws it at David and it hits the wall. It would have pinned David to the wall, but he escaped and he flees from Saul. And so that is followed by years of fleeing from the presence of Saul in order to preserve his life, God protecting him all along the way. I want you to hear this. To lose the voice of Jesus is to lose the presence of God. If you don't have the voice of Christ, you have nothing. To lose the voice of Christ is to lose the presence of God. David could hear, and God was with him, and God elevated him in the eyes of the people. Saul, all the while chasing David. David escapes and eventually comes to the caves of Adullam. We read that in our last scripture. He hides in the caves. He takes his family there with him. And men from all over the region hear where David is, and they are drawn to him. They're drawn to him in the caves of Adullam. These are people who are miserable. These are people who are indebted. This is people who are discontented and distressed. Why did they find themselves drawn to David in the cave? Because, beloved, this is why anyone is drawn to someone. Because they needed what he had to say. They needed to hear the voice of God. They needed to hear what David would speak, David being the anointed of God. So they're drawn into the cave. There's something important here. that I want you to understand. The wise and the successful of this world, listen closely. The wise in their own eyes and successful in this world are much less likely to be drawn aside to hear the voice of the Beloved. Those who are so driven by other things are less likely to be gathered unto Jesus to hear what He has to say. They're driven by other voices. So many voices. God says, I will break down the pride and the wise man's wisdom, and I will show myself to the weak. I will show myself to the weak, to the poor, to the miserable, blind, lonely, destitute, indebted, the outcast of this world. I want to draw out a parallel here because David in the Bible is a type and shadow of Christ. He's a foreshadowing of Christ in the Word of God. It is a picture, though. I've preached on the cave in years past, but not from this standpoint, because these men gathered unto David is a picture written by the Holy Spirit of where we are in this present age. It is a prophetic picture of the church in this present age as we wait for our King to have all things put underneath His feet. David has fled to the caves, and his followers are drawn there. And the Bible says that he taught them. I believe he not only taught them warfare, but he taught them the Word of God. Because we are told in the book of Psalms, there are psalms that David wrote while he was in the caves of Adullam. There were songs, there was worship taking place in the caves. And there was training for battle taking place in the caves. There was leadership being developed in the caves, and there were men who were sold out to hear the voice of David and what he had to say to them. He teaches them, he trains them, they listen, they respond, they receive. And he forges from 400 men the greatest army that Israel had known to that point. An army that would expand Israel's boundaries to a greater extent than any other time in history, past, present, until now. Because they have known His voice. Those who have known the voice of Christ are the ones who can attempt great things for God. Those who hear His voice. So we have this picture. David is the true king. Just follow me for a moment. David is the true king, but corrupt Saul is still sitting on the throne. David is a king with a kingdom. It's a real kingdom. But he and his people, his kingdom is hidden away in the caves. Saul will eventually be cast down. He will be killed in battle. And David will be established over all of the land. Now in the Bible, again, David is a type and a foreshadowing of Christ. His men who hear his voice are hidden with him. It is an unseen kingdom. It is a hidden kingdom. So let's parallel this. David is king. Saul is rejected and is yet reigning. Saul has rejected the voice of God, and he listens instead to the voice of the witch of Endor. You'll find that in the Word of God. He loses the voice of God, so he goes to a witch, which makes matters even worse, because now he is delved into the occult, which God has forbidden. I want to take you back for a few moments. Before creation, Lucifer was the highest ranking creation, angelic being of God. Says he was a covering angel that covered the very glory of God, the throne of God. He was there with God. He was at the throne and he covered the throne. It's not that God needs protecting, but it was like he was a protector around the throne of God. Because of rebellion, because of having rejected God's voice, he was cast out of the heavenly realm with a third of the angels, where he deceived Eve and then Adam. Adam and Eve were to be rulers of this planet. Their reign, their rule is forfeited by legal decree because they disobeyed God and listened to Satan. And in Bible language, Satan took the keys of death and hell for all of the time of our Old Testament scriptures and exercised a place of dominion. The New Testament still calls him the prince of the power of the air. He's a prince. He is the prince of this world, the Bible says, and the God, little g, of this world. And even though at the cross of Calvary, his authority was legally recovered by Jesus Christ, He still has allowed a certain sway over this world system because this world system rejects the voice of God. Saul, rejected, yet ruling. Satan, today, rejected, yet ruling. David is king, but his kingdom is hidden. So this is where we are. We are part of the kingdom of Christ, but it's not a visible kingdom. It's a hidden kingdom. Jesus said that. He said that my kingdom is like yeast that's put into the dough, and it works its way through the dough, and you cannot see what it's doing in the dough. And yet it causes the dough to rise. It produces a change in the very nature of that thing. We are yeast of God in the earth, but we're hidden in the earth, and we're doing an unseen work. We're hidden with Christ because we hear His voice, but the world does not hear His voice. So we are a hidden kingdom, and we're hidden with Christ. David is king, but his kingdom was hidden. The kingdom had not yet been established under him. And so we read in Hebrews 2:5, speaking of Jesus, yet we do not yet see all things put under his feet. That's where we live today. We do not yet see all things put underneath his feet. But I'm stressing to you this morning, there is a hidden kingdom. And there's a king who is absolute ruler over all the universe. And we may not see all things put under his feet yet, but he's speaking in the cave. He speaks to his people. He's forging an army. He's building a kingdom. And the time is coming when all will be put under his feet. Saul had sought to destroy David with the javelin. Satan would have pinned Jesus to the wall if it had not been for the foreordained work of God and call of God upon his life. At the wilderness temptation, Jesus was tempted by Satan to take another path than the cross, because Satan is always wanting to destroy the work of this kingdom, growth of this kingdom. At the Garden of Gethsemane, Satan would have pinned Jesus to the wall. He would have killed him as he sweat great drops of blood in anguish. It was Satan's desire to prevent him from going to the cross, to exterminate the kingdom of Christ. And this has continued through persecutions and many other means all through the ages. False voices. False voices, and people in the church listen to false voices, not just people in the world. I think that probably 50% of our ministry over the years has been talking to people and finding out they believe false voices. People come into the church, and it's not that you hammer on them or anything, you give them some time. But people come into the church and they start naming people they've listened to preach that are preaching nothing but a false message. And oh, how they love this message. Or they've been reading The Power of Positive Thinking, which comes straight from hell. Or they've been studying something in the occult, some New Age thing that sounds maybe like God. Some false doctrine about Christ that diminishes the greatness of Christ. False voices. And people do not know how to discern. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not listen to the voice of another. But, beloved, it's going to get worse. If it's worse now than it ever has been, it's going to get even worse before he comes. So what will you do if you cannot hear the voice of Christ? If you have not, look this way, saturated your heart with what he already has spoken and brings to life and speaks this to your own heart. Because the more you learn this, in fact, in the New Testament, it's Christ says, learn of me. As you learn Christ, that is the protection against false voices. You know, I'm talking to the church, and most of you are students of the word, but some of you may be sitting here and you may think, oh, I would never believe some false thing. Yes, you will. If you're not filled with knowledge of the voice of Christ. Because the closer we come to the end, the more closely aligned the two things will be. What do I mean by that? The false voices will look so much, sound so close to the voice of Christ.
Yes.
And all it takes is a tiny drop of poison in a gallon.
Yes.
To kill. And so if you don't know more than just two or three things about Jesus and what the Bible says, how will you discern when it comes speaking in Christ's name? Jesus said, they'll come speaking in my name. When they come speaking in Christ's name, saying they're preaching the word of God, saying things that sound like God, how will you know?
Yes.
unless you have discerning ears to examine and to sort out the voice of Christ. Just as Saul finally fell in battle, so the prince of this world will be destroyed, will be overcome, and will be cast into the bottomless pit. While David was in the cave, his kingdom was a hidden kingdom. And during the season of hiddenness, it was the king's voice that drew these men together. You know, sometimes we talk about unity in the church. What do you believe to be the basis of unity other than himself, his voice? If everyone's hearing the same voice, then everyone's going to be in unity, right? You can't be in unity if some are hearing a false voice and thinking that it's a true voice. All unity of purpose was because of David's voice as that army was being forged. It was what he said to them. What he said, they could envision. Because you do not see until you hear. They could envision him reigning as king over everything. Can you really believe? Can you really see Christ setting foot on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, as the Bible says? Setting up a kingdom that rules this entire earth? Is that real to you? Can you enter into that? Can you hear his voice saying it? Can you envision it? Can you long for it and be a part of it? They could envision the destruction of Saul. Why, it's hard to imagine a world without the things that Satan has put here. They could envision God's blessing upon the kingdom. They could envision a place. This is my favorite part. They could envision a place where outcasts and rejects like them could be transformed into what the king envisioned for them. My favorite image of the church is the gathering place of rejects, the gathering place of failures, the gathering place of lives wrecked by sin, the gathering place of those who are not accepted. In the caves of Adullam, they sat at his feet and they soaked up every word that he said. Can you just imagine? He was a hero. He was a hero when they gathered and they listened, just like Mary when she sat at the feet of Jesus. And they listened to every word that David spoke to them. They loved him so much they wanted to do anything to please him. One day he said, "Oh, how I just wish I could have some water from the well at Bethlehem." And so some of them sneaked out and went to Bethlehem, which was under Saul's army's control, and risked their lives going in at night while the men were asleep to get water out of a well for the king to take it all the way back to him. Those who hear his voice, who see him, want to please him. Amen. And we don't just sit around waiting for the day when he will speak some grand thing that he wants us to do. We listen to his word, and if he says, "Be kind today," if that's going to put a smile on Jesus' face, then those who hear his voice, that is their mission today, their life. As a songwriter and a musician, David gave them songs about victory, songs of praise to God, songs about the kingdom and the future. Jesus' kingdom today is a hidden kingdom. Natural man cannot hear or see. I need to finish this up quickly. Natural man cannot hear or see. I want to say that again. Natural man is the one who's not been born again, who does not have the Spirit of Christ. Natural man cannot hear, cannot see, cannot comprehend the words of God. Oh, there's something in us. Maybe it's just in me. I've done this in the past. I think I've grown up a little bit. There's something in us that we see some celebrity. If they even speak the name of Jesus, they may be a total pig. But if they speak the name of Jesus, we're like, oh, they believe in Jesus. Maybe it'll be popular. They're popular. They need to speak about Jesus. You know, in the 60s and the 70s, it was like the Doobie Brothers, the hit on the radio. "Jesus is just all right with me." And it was stuff of the Jesus movement was happening. And it was okay. It was cool to be a Christian for just a little while. And something in us wants it to be popular in the world, that the crowds might see just how great our God is. But God says, no, they cannot see. They cannot hear. Their eyes are blind and their ears are stopped. My kingdom is a hidden kingdom. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father. No man comes to me except the Father draws him. I believe all men have the opportunity, and all women, all boys and girls, at some time being drawn by God to refuse or not refuse. But there's a drawing. Like yeast in the dough, works its way through this world and it affects the dough, but you cannot see it. It is hidden. I know for some of you that's confusing. You say, well, look at us. We're here. We're in a natural state here. We're in the church. People can walk up to that door. We're not hidden. We're not hidden. You can walk into a church. I'm not talking about ours. You can walk into a church of 200 people, and there can be 5 people in that church who are really part of His kingdom, and you can't see it with your natural eyes. All the rest can be believing a lie. God has a remnant. The remnant is hidden from this world. But we have heard His voice. And to hear is to see. It's the revelation that comes through His word. And we believe the day is close when the Lord, who is hidden until the time of restitution of all things, shall be made manifest along with His people who have been hidden with Him. And He shall take unto Himself His great power and reign, and all things shall be put underneath His feet. The army that He is forging in the hidden place, in the cave today, the army that He is forging or forming from such an unpromising bunch of people, shall be with Him and be following Him on horses, white horses in radiant glory. His word, His voice on that day, the book of Revelation says, will be His voice, His word will be the very sword by which He destroys Antichrist and puts down the nations, the armies that have gathered against Him. We hear His voice. Oh, these men, when they came, they heard David's voice. They knew it, and they would never listen to the voice of anyone else. David became the center of their world. Is Christ the center of your world? And they were separated from Saul's evil kingdom. The Bible says that we are separated unto Christ, hidden with Him. The king that they met in the secret place, they were separated unto Him. They no longer cared for the things of the world, the things of Saul's kingdom. They only cared for the things of David's kingdom. Why should it not be just as clear as that today for us? Before we close, let me give you the anatomy of a false voice. The anatomy of a false voice. If we are believers, our spirit in us, maybe our flesh kicks and screams, but in our spirit man, we are attracted to the voice of Christ. But a false voice is still attractive to our flesh, to our natural mind, and to our human reasoning. A false voice strokes the flesh. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
False voice feels good. Mm-hmm. Says things that sound good. False voice appeals to yourself. False voice appeals to your ego. False voice appeals to your human reasoning rather than dependence upon the Holy Spirit. It appeals to your sense of self-importance. You understand, all of these things are the things behind the simple little concept, the power of positive speaking. False voice will diminish the word of God, the word of Christ. A false voice will excuse your sin. We'll say, well, God understands, He knows. It perverts God's standard of righteousness. A false voice will appeal to your emotions, and you will be led by your emotions, thinking that you're hearing the voice of Jesus. A false voice will promise you a way to heaven through good works, through good deeds, through self-realization, through positive thinking, through meditation, through many, many different ways. Except the way of denying self and submitting to Christ. Faith in Christ alone. This morning I would ask you to consider, do you know His voice? Listen to these words again. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. I think that's all you need to know to go home and say, God, do I know your voice? To begin to read his word, not as just a record, it is a historical record that's true, but to read it as the voice that speaks to the inner man, that convicts of sin and gives direction for your life. What governs your life? What governs, let's stand, Wyatt, if you'll come. What governs your life if not the voice of Christ? Is it the voice of your own reasoning and planning? What governs your life? Is it the magazines that you read that want to give you the opinions on everything? Is it the news commentary that you hear that makes all kinds of assertions about one thing or another? What governs your life if not the voice of Christ? And if you don't know his voice, what will you do? I think it should be number one priority. Because you won't see until you hear. But when you've heard, you'll see.